For us to understand the last book in the Bible, we need to read the book of Revelation in its historic context. It has to do with events transpiring at that time, 20 centuries ago, during the times of Christian persecution in Rome. An exiled early Christian leader with the name John wrote to support and comfort the early Christian churches in Asia. He wrote in mystic language that the early Christians could decipher for themselves. Many believe that references to the big city Babylon and the Antichrist are actually references to the eternal city of Rome and its cruel Caesar Nero. Our scripture reading today is from Revelation, book 1, verses 8 through 20. The Master declares, I'm A to Z. I'm the God who is, the God who was, the God about to arrive. I'm the sovereign strong. I, John, with you all the way in the trial and the kingdom and the passion of patience in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos because of God's word, the witness of Jesus. It was Sunday, and I was in the Spirit praying. I heard a loud voice behind me, trumpet clearing and piercing. Write what you see into a book. Send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. I turned and saw the voice. I saw a gold menorah with seven branches, and in the center, the Son of Man, in a robe and gold breastplate, hair a blizzard of white, eyes pouring fire blaze, both feet furnace-fired bronze. His voice a cataract, right hand holding the seven stars. His mouth a sharp fighting sword. His face a perigee sun. I saw this and fainted dead at his feet. His right hand pulled me upright. His voice reassured me. Don't fear. I am first. I am last. I'm alive. I died, but I came to life, and my life is now forever. See these keys in my hand? They open and lock death's door. They open and lock hell's gates. Now write down everything that you see, things that are, things about to be. The seven stars you saw in my right hand and the seven branches, gold menorah. Do you want to know what's behind them? The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. The menorah's branches are the seven churches. Here ends today's reading.
Thank you, Linda. I think Linda and I need to make an arrangement with the choir, with your permission. I think we also need the lights up here right through the service, because I see that Linda had to sort of aim for it. So why don't you please turn them on for us and never turn them off again? Well, that's now settled. Christmas is a time of lights. Here and across the world, multitudes of Christians are celebrating with lights during this Advent and Christmas time. Now, for us as Christians, there's a connection between all these lights and our faith, our personal faith. You will notice in the Bible that throughout the ages, Jesus is often portrayed with light. So many of us carry a very attractive picture in our hearts. Christians across the world, thinking of Jesus surrounded by light, amidst the lights, Jesus himself as the light in the darkness of our personal lives. Now, as Linda said, during the height of persecution against Christians in the early Christian era, John portrays Jesus as walking amongst the lights. And what were those lights? The Bible says they were lighted menorahs, and in his hand he was holding 7 shining stars. Now, all symbolical, but Jesus was literally in that vision of John, surrounded by light from all sides. And John knew at that dark time in Christian history that if he could help the persecuted people, the Christians of the first century, if he could elevate them to understand that the image of Jesus surrounds them, is within them all the days of their lives, if they could come about to carry the image in their hearts, their faith would not easily falter, and their hope would stay alive. So John's Jesus is telling those who suffered not to fear at all, but to trust him as the living one who will be with them forevermore. Now, we do not know the outcome, but one thing is for sure. The early Christians were so much inspired that they went from there across the world carrying the message of the Savior, the Messiah, carrying a message of hope and light to the end of the world. So, the image that you and I carry in our hearts has very much to do with our personal faith. So, this reading today might bear the question, what image of God, the triune God, what image of God do you and I carry in our hearts? Let's go a bit further. If you were asked to make a drawing of your perception of what Jesus looks like or looked like, how will that picture be? Can you imagine what picture will you draw? Maybe many people will only draw an imitation of one of the many, many artistic impressions of Jesus Christ. And sad to say, they come a dime a dozen. Don't always look the same. Well, maybe because nobody really knew. There was no paintings, there were no cameras, no video cameras. So the drawings of Jesus were actually born in the artist's hands. Now, the good news is then, okay, they took a shot at it. What about us? Can't we do the same? Can we not imagine deep inside ourselves what Jesus looked like, what God is like? Now, it's not important whether the image that I carry of God, Jesus, or you carry, whether they are actually the same. I think actually, if we give everybody a chance, we will find that there are many, many images represented in our hearts, and I'm pretty sure that no two will be exactly the same. And the good news is, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter exactly what Jesus looked like. And it was worthwhile I researched it a bit during this week, and you'll be amazed if you do the same. The internet will help you to see the many images of Jesus painted through the years. But behind this earthly painting is something much, much deeper. It is a specific image of God that you and I carry in our lives. And here comes the reason why this is so important during this season. Your specific God image has the power either to enhance your faith and devotion, or it could drive you to cringe in unnecessary fear. Many people avoid the topic altogether. They would do anything to steer around it. And if you ask them, what image of God, what understanding of God do you carry deep inside yourself? Many people won't be able, if they're honest, to come beyond the crooked finger. Because since the day they were little, somehow people always pointed at them. You're doing this wrong, you're doing that wrong, why are you doing that? Many will just see an angry eye in the sky, somewhere out there, watching me, ready to pounce if I do wrong. Or the image can be entirely different. Emmanuel, God with us. God, I invited you in, and you made a dwelling, a home for yourself deep, deep inside me. And that powerful image, that faith, will see us through the darkest night, will be with us, and we will be without fear, because God is love. And then we will discover that fear of hell will never get you to heaven. Any form of fear that you carry in your heart and try to escape, to overcome your fear, watch it. You are busy with a kind of theology that is simply not true. It is the God image. It's the day that you and I accepted the challenge to accept Jesus Christ as the Savior of our lives, that God's word became true, and that God made a dwelling in us and through us, something that you could call upon. Some warm sense of the presence of God, whatever you do. And then you will discover, how does that God image inspire me? Lift me up to the high mountain of joy. How does it give me fresh courage? How does it help me to walk through the darkest night? And then we discover that the image that we carry, God in us, make us feel secure, feel loved, cared for, provided for, come what may, and then filled us with hope, with renewed strength from day to day. See what a difference your, my understanding of God makes? Do you fear or rejoice? Join the multitudes who discovered that God is God. And joy will take over, never ever to desert you again. Now this is a winsome picture that I'm painting. It's a beautiful, positive picture. But sadly, the opposite is also true, and I dare not be quiet about that. I will never forget my first visit to the Netherlands, arranging to study there and to become a minister there. I arrived in the Netherlands, and it was just a time of political turmoil at that time. And one of the first things that I saw underway from the airport were a few of these huge politically inspired billboards. And billboards that I saw was a bit of a shock to me, coming from protected South Africa. I've never seen them picturing half-naked people on huge, big billboards. We were far more different in those days. And one picture that was towering over Schiphol Airport was a picture painted of a Catholic nun, but she was half naked because she tore her habit away in the picture, and revealing on her chest was a picture of the Argentinian revolutionist Che Guevara tattooed on her breast. Religious on the outside, but rebellious without God on the inside. And many years later, I had to overcome my shock. I realize how often do we wear an outward sort of a shine of holiness. Oh, we are so good. We are so perfect. There's nothing wrong with us. And if people could see the turmoil inside, that's a different story. And the positive that came out of that first shocking, half-pornographic experience was, for time since then, I found, discovered in myself, deep and, I know, sincere questions about my faith. What do you really believe? Not what other people taught you to believe, but what is really deep inside myself. Oh, I remember the days. And if you think it's easy to stand in the same pulpit for 52 Sundays a year and have something new to say every Sunday, come and try it. You have to search so deep, so deep. And I know there were times in my earlier life when I really wondered about God. Now, the gray has taken over. It's decades later. I ask no more. Questions are gone forever. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine, no matter what. For John on Patmos centuries ago, it was Jesus walking amongst the lights. Jesus as light. Who is Jesus for you? Let me tell you about Gamaliel at Bradford, the famous poet and writer, who in a previous century tried to capture the optimism of his age. At that time, things were going well in his world, and he came up with a bold statement. He wrote it in one of his books. Religion has had its say. It's outdated now. The modern world has taken over. Our mind is now huger than the faith we used to profess. Actually, we do not really need an outside God anymore. So Gamaliel Bradford wrote the well-known poem, Exit God. Exit God, he proclaimed, I need you no more. We can take care of ourselves now. We are modern people. We've made many discoveries, thank you. But then, in true history, Gamaliel Bradford went off to war. And it's there that he, for the first time in his life, saw the horrors of human depravity. He saw the stupidity of greed and corruption. He threw up his hands at what lurked in the human beast of his own heart. And then the day came that he lost all faith in himself. And that year, historical evidence is there. He wrote in his diary, "Who will tell me something about God?" A British nurse wrote about the time when she was caring for Rudyard Kipling, the immortal British poet. He was terribly sick and spent long dark nights in restless agitation. The nurse asked, "Do you want anything?" She stood by his bedside, "What can I do for you?" And finally, in a very weak voice, Kipling said, "I want God. I need God." And in our times, so many are echoing Kipling's cry, and we utter the call in a variety of ways. I want God, I want to see God, I want to make some sense out of this crazy world that I'm part of. This world filled with lunatics playing unholy games in the politics of this world, with multitudes of millions dying unnecessarily in wars thought out in certain places of the world and then simply take their toll. A world of murder, hostility, famine, broken homes. It is then that the creature begins to long for the Creator. Planted deep inside the question, I don't want to be alone. I want to feel God. I want to get rid of the loneliness that wrapped itself around my heart and my life. I want to know God. I want to find some purpose for what I'm doing every day, for what I'm doing in my job, for what's happening at home. Let me remind you again of St. Augustine, who spoke about a God-shaped hole that all of us carry deep inside ourselves, saying that our hearts are restless until we find rest in God. And when God suddenly appears out of the woodwork of our lives, He shakes us with overpowering light and glory. Then we are something like the John of old, who in a vision suddenly saw, I am surrounded by light, and darkness for me is gone forever. For I know in whom I put my trust. How does it become visible? The table of the Lord is our constant reminder, touchable, visible, a picture of the Lord coming to us, though it be with broken, crucified body, with nail-pierced hands, coming to us, saying, fear not, you are my child. I bought you with a price. You belong to me. And that's the invitation of this morning. See, smell, taste, share. The light is in our midst. Today. This very day. Amen.